Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
51551, wash your hands, is our text number. I want to go straight to John Byrne because we want to get the winners of the competition out and we want to let them be heard. John, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How you doing?
Good. Did you realise, 3 weeks ago, that what you were unleashing?
I did not. I thought, at best, we might get 150, maybe 200 stories. In the end, we got about 6,000.
Wow.
And which was great. It was hard work, but it was great, and it was definitely well worth it.
And what way did you divvy up the 6,000 stories of 300 words each?
Well, I started with six novelists all reading, okay. And then I brought 10 more in, so we had 16, and then Penguin Random House came on board and provided us with 12 readers. Okay. So we ended up with, 28 people, and I divided people into categories, the 6 to 10 age group, the 11 to 14s, and the 15 to 18s. So each category had maybe, 7, 8, 9, 10 people reading a chunk of them, and then each person would send back their best 10, best 15, and their overall, the one they thought was the best. And then I would read all of those, and for each category, I would pick the overall winner, one winner in each category. So, yeah.
And what instructions did you give the judges?
Nothing really other than...
Well, they are experienced writers. Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, exactly. So just, I just wanted them to pick the ones they liked the best, the ones that moved them, that they thought was the best writing, the most imaginative, whatever jumped out of the pack, really.
And did any themes emerge, John? Because it was a fairly fluid set of rules, so to speak.
Yeah.
Just 300 words, beginning, a middle, and an end. Hopefully, any themes?
With the older kids, say 15 to 18, there was a lot about death.
A lot about death.
Death. Yeah.
Wow. Oh God.
They were quite grim, some of them. I guess it's interesting that young people are engaging with the world and looking at what's going on around them. There was a lot about climate. Obviously, there was a lot about COVID-19.
Yeah.
With younger kids, there was a lot. I would say there was more humour. A lot of the little boys aged between 6 and 10 do seem fascinated by different parts of the body. Shall we say?
Okay. Yeah, we know that.
And that was a lot of fun. But there was a lot of space, actually. A lot of stories going on in space.
Okay.
The kids, they don't censor themselves in any way. They just, they go, they're completely imaginative.
Okay, let's begin then with the 15 to 18 category. The winner there, John, is?
Emma Broderick, age 17, from Dublin.
Okay, and I think we have Emma on the line. Emma, good afternoon.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Congratulations. Well, then what's your story called, Emma?
The Little Red Balloon.
The Little Red Balloon. Okay, and what inspired that story?
I kind of just started writing it because, honestly, I was just kind of procrastinating doing schoolwork. And then it kind of just developed into something that a lot of people have interpreted as me feeling locked up because of COVID-19 and just wanting to be free, which I guess... could have been subconsciously, but honestly, I was kind of just writing about a balloon.
Okay, brilliant. You're just writing about a balloon, the same way as James Joyce was simply writing about a walk around Dublin in Ulysses. Well done, Emma. You recorded a story for us. It's 300 words. It's called 99. What is it called?
The Little Red Balloon.
The Little Red Balloon by Emma Broderick. What year are you in school or college or? Emma?
Fifth year.
Okay. And give a shout out to your college, your school.
Muckers Park College.
Well done. And your English teacher is?
Miss McArdle.
Okay. Well, I know you're at home with your mum, Lisa, dad, Mick, and your brother, Joe, age 15. This is Emma Broderick from Dublin reading her award-winning short story. She's 17 and it's called The Little Red Balloon.
The Little Red Balloon by Emma Broderick. There was once a little boy who had a red balloon. He took his red balloon everywhere. To the park, on the bus, he tied it to his bed when he fell asleep. The red balloon loved the boy, but she also dreamed of the sky. Every day when the boy played in the park, the red balloon would look up and see the clouds, white and fluffy, and the sky big and blue, and will wish her string wasn't so short, so she could fly up and up and meet the stars that kept waving at her through the gap in the little boy's curtains when he was fast asleep. Every day, the little red balloon got smaller and smaller. She was getting old and knew she would never touch the sky, so she would cry and shrink a little more. The boy didn't understand why the red balloon was so sad. He tried to make her happy by throwing her a party. At the party, she met loads of different balloons, all different colours and sizes. They were purple and pink and yellow and orange and green, but none were the same colour as the sky. The next day, the boy went to the park and brought the red balloon with him. He went on the swings and flew higher and higher. The balloon looked up and saw the sky closer than ever before. Suddenly, a gust of wind blew through the playground and into the little boy's hand and grabbed the string and tossed it high in the air. And the little red balloon flew, up and up and up some more, touching the sky the whole way and smiling.
Wonderful, Emma. Oh, great images there.
Thank you.
What jumped out for you there, John?
Well, let me first add that it was Anne Enright, who read that story first.
Okay.
And was in her pile, so it got rewarded by a Booker Prize winner.
Yeah.
I think what we felt was that it was highly imaginative, that sense of escape at the end, which Emma alluded to it there as you were talking to her, that we're all kind of hoping for that right now, you know, to maybe, you know, for this all to end and to get out in the fresh air. But I thought
that's
it was very
wonderful, yeah.
inventive to use this balloon.
The way, Emma, you humanise the balloon as the central character in the story, which is great. And then the balloon is liberated and balloons are there to soar, isn't that it?
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
Okay, Emma, well, have you read Anne Enright, Emma?
No, but I'm definitely going to.
Well,
now.
Do, and her most recent book is called The Actress. The Actress, not only is it very funny, now I'd say your parents might get a bigger kick out of it because I could recognise half the characters in it. Well, some of them are in here in RTE, but it's a fantastic book, The Actress by Anne Enright. Okay, Emma Broderick, is this the first competition you've won?
Yeah, it's the first one I've entered.
Okay, and you were, as John said, you were picked by one of our finest novelists, Anne Enright, formerly of this parish, I hasten to add, Nighthawks being her creation, magnificent creation. As I say, a Booker Prize winner has picked your story. What is the prize, John?
Emma gets a €200 book token.
Okay.
And publication in the Irish Times.
Oh, well done. Oh, that's fantastic. Well done, Martin Doyle and the Irish Times for doing that. Okay, let's go to the second category. This is the 11 to 14. And yes. The winner there is?
The winner here is Ryan Coughlin, age 14, from Waterford.
Wow.
All three categories actually are from different counties. I'll be glad.
Okay. And who were the judges in the 11 to 14 category?
There was seven or eight, but the person who had picked this story was Paul Murray, who of course wrote Skippy Dies and Spark in the Void, and his Ryan's story is called Planet XT 14.
Planet XT 14, and Ryan is on the line. Ryan, good
Hello.
Afternoon, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Well done, Ryan. Tell us about your story. What is it called, Planet?
Okay, so Planet XT 14.
Okay, what does that mean, if anything? Does it have to mean anything? No.
Well, originally T was Terra, but I mean, 300 words gets some stuff deleted. So that's not in there at the moment, but it's in my head.
Okay, what school are you in?
Waterford College.
And
Waterford City.
And you're at 14, or you'd be in second year, I presume, or there.
I am, yes.
What do you want to be when you grow up? Do you want to be an astronaut, or do you want to be a writer?
Yes, I'd either go down like writing or becoming a teacher or a lecturer in English, of course.
Oh, well done. Okay. So do you want to, well, we have your recorder reading your story. Do you want to give a shout out to your English teacher or your parents or whoever influenced you most?
Well, my English teacher's name is Mr. Marr, and he does support free writing a lot.
Wow, okay.
And actually, it was his idea for the class to enter.
Oh, magnificent.
Entry, so.
Yeah,
The reason I won is because of Mr. Marr, really.
6,000. Well, the reason you won, I'm sure Mr. Marr would say, is because of you and your ability. Okay, this is Planet XT 14, and it's by Ryan Coughlin from Waterford.
Planet XT 14 by Ryan Coughlin. We walk into the conference room. Our shuttle had recently arrived back to our home planet from our long travels to the incredible new solar system, X-25. We had been tasked with landing on and researching a planet dubbed XT-14, where we had received an interesting signal. As captain, I will be answering any questions. We take our seats at the stage. New planets are always important, so the GSA always make major announcements publicly by the crew. Firstly, I want to thank the Global Space Agency and everyone who supported us on our voyage. News cameras film us silently as the crowd applaud. One hand raises silently. Captain, can you confirm life on XT-14? We can confirm life on the planet. We have even brought back some plant samples. More hands raise. Captain, there was one main question everyone wants to know. Can you confirm sentient life? I sigh, I knew this was coming. We had spent months on that planet, and it breaks my heart. There was indeed life on the planet. They were very intelligent. We found satellites and even a space station, much like our own orbiting XT-14. Using skeletons and various paintings, we know they are a cousin species to us. Pictures of various skeletons and digital recreations appear behind me. They were much like us, but had large differences, such as their skin colors or hair. They seem to have gotten to the technological stage we reached 150 years ago. They mastered communication and weaponry, but hadn't quite reached biological enhancements. Like other species, they caused their own demise due to nuclear fallout. Silence. Slowly, one hand raises. Have you found the planet's local name? According to the computers we found, they called the planet Earth. The species were called Homo sapiens.
Wow, well done, Ryan. You read that with such confidence. Well done.
I try to practice reading as much as I can.
Out loud.
Out loud, yeah.
Yes, really important. Really important. What jumped out here, John?
Well, I think it paced very well.
Yeah.
It's a very well-controlled story. And then you've got that killer ending.
Yeah.
You know, I thought of something like Roald Dahl, you know, like those great endings, a twist, but send a little shiver down you.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it coming. You know, I didn't see those last two sentences coming. And when it did, I just thought, yeah, that's the stuff.
Okay. And the hand, I think, goes up twice with the question. First, yeah, what was it? Yeah. Was there sentient life on this planet? And then what was the name of the planet? Yeah. Well done, Ryan. Congratulations. Congratulations. And I see in your bio you were originally born in Vietnam, Ryan.
Yes, I was adopted at birth.
Great.
And have I live in Warsaw now.
And have you been back with your mother and father? Have the three of you travelled back, yeah?
When I was four, when we adopted my sister, Eva.
Oh, magic. Okay, well done. Well, Ryan, you should be very proud. What's the prize, John?
Same as Emma, €200.
Okay.
And there's publication.
Okay, Ryan Coughlin. Well done, Ryan, from Waterford. And, John, there's over €7,000 in prizes. I know.
We started off with 3,600, which Cecilia Hearn and I were funding. And then National Book Tokens came on board, and they very generously doubled the pot.
Well done.
So we have 7,200. So in total, I think we have about 130, 140 winners in various amounts.
Oh, that's brilliant. And how will people find out if they won?
I am sitting at my desk at the moment, and okay. I am about to email everybody who's won to tell them, but also the Irish Times website, once Liveline is finished, they're going to print on the website the three stories. They're also going to print the names of all the winners, and then tomorrow in the newspaper, they're going to actually publish the stories themselves.
Oh, magic. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. And reminder to people, the Irish Times, the Irish Independent, the Mail, all the other publications have fantastic online offerings. They really have. And I think I heard earlier today, they're going to all come to, and by the way, the Times Irish edition as well. I think they're all going to come together and try and offer subscriptions, online subscriptions, because obviously less people, as we found out there a few minutes ago, going into shops. So support good, reliable newspapers, which we have in spades here in this great country. Okay, the third category in the John Byrne short story competition, 6,000 entries, over €7,500 in prizes. And the winner in the 6 to 10 category is
Tom O'Flaherty, age 9, from Limerick.
Okay. Is Tom there? I think his mum is there as well, Emer. Tom?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And what class are you in, Tom?
Second class.
My daughter teaches second class. And you know what happened when they announced the school shutdown? All the girls in her class who she loves got upset because their communion was cancelled. Is your communion cancelled?
It's postponed.
Okay. Were you looking forward to that?
I don't know.
Okay. Tom, what's your story called?
Itchy Scratchy.
Itchy Scratchy. Brilliant. And do you like reading?
Yep.
And do you read? Have you enough books to read in the house at the moment?
No.
No? You're running out. And who's your favourite writer?
David Wiley.
Yeah, I knew that. He's number one, isn't he? Everywhere at the minute. Okay, you're registered. It's called Itchy Scratchy. That's what it's called. Okay, let's listen to Tom O'Flaherty. Tom is 8, in second class. His communion has been postponed, but you can still send him money if you're related to him. Lou, your communion is postponed, Tom, but this is Itchy Scratchy.
Itchy Scratchy by Tom O'Flaherty. Eddie is a whole 60 years old, bent over with a hump. His long coat won't close in the cold wind. He wears a flat cap that he lifts to scratch his head, which is crawling with nits. They run down his neck and around his collar. Itchy scratchy, itchy scratchy. At night he sleeps in shop doorway using a charity blanket. He feels very cold when he wakes up. As the day goes on, he becomes hungry and bored. Eddie rummages for foods in street bins. He mutters curses. If you pass him, he will swear at you, lifting his cap. Itchy scratchy, itchy scratchy. Eddie lost his job, money and his home. He couldn't afford to pay the bills. It wasn't long before he was living on the street. What he wants more than anything is food and a home. One day as Eddie walked, itching and scratching, he saw something shiny. It was a brand new €1 coin. He held it in his hand, deciding what to do. He would spend it in Centra. In the shop, instead of buying food, he buys a lotto card. Ripping the card, he scratches it with his dirty nails. Itchy scratchy. He won a whole 80. Laughing, he hid it under his cap. Itchy scratchy, itchy scratchy. He decided to buy a tent, sleeping bag and food. The shopkeepers were glad to see him leave as they started to go itchy scratchy, itchy scratchy. Eddie pitched his tent and someone else pitched beside him. The stranger lights a fire and calls to Eddie, offering heat, and Eddie offers him food. The lotto brought more than money to Eddie. You can see them there now. Itchy scratchy, itchy scratchy.
Oh, brilliant, Tom. That is absolutely brilliant. Well done. And your use of the phrase and his name, Itchy Scratchy, was just brilliantly peppered, wasn't it, John?
I thought that was fantastic. I thought the empathy Tom showed towards homeless people, just the consideration, kindness, you know, that's what we're all looking for today. And I think his mum told me a story last night about how Tom came up with this idea in the first place. I think he was up in, is that right, Tom? You were up in Dublin?
Yeah.
And what
and you saw some, yeah.
What?
You saw some of the homeless problems maybe up here, wasn't it?
I got the idea of the homeless person in Dublin.
Mm-hmm. When you were visiting, it's a lovely story. It's a lovely, evocative, as John said, compassionate story. Tom, what are you doing in your free time? Are you living in what part? I know you're in Limerick, but where do you live in Limerick?
Ballyragan.
Oh, Ballyragan. And what does your family do?
We
we grow salad, herbs, and we have some beans.
Oh, magic. So you're organic farmers?
Yeah.
Okay, and do you help out with the bees?
Yes.
And do you wear one of those big suits with the...
I did once.
Okay, okay. Well, Tom, well done. What's your teacher's name in second class?
Miss Guiney.
Miss Guiney. Well, well done, Miss Guiney, and well done all our teachers, because that is an incredible standard. That's Itchy Scratchy. All those stories will be in the Irish Times. Tomorrow will also be online and the Irish Times. Tom Flaherty and the two other winners. Thank you both. We'll give out the full names now in a few minutes. Ryan Coughlin, who you heard from Waterford, and Emma Broderick from Dublin. That's a fantastic standard. And John Byrne, well done. Are you exhausted?
I am a bit, but yeah. It was definitely worth it. Can I just say a big thank you to all those readers and all the writers who submitted, and to you, Joe, as well, and your team for publicising it so well.
Okay, we were glad when you contacted us to help out. John, is there any, I don't want to be putting more, is there any way the stories can be archived or digitised? Because I think, as you said, these stories were written in the middle of the biggest pandemic of the century, and it's not over yet by a long shot. And I think it's a fantastic snapshot of Ireland or whatever is in people's young people's minds at the minute. And the 300 words is another genius idea because it keeps them short and they're only, 2.5 minutes each. I just wonder, would anyone take them and keep them on? I know one of the problems in the world we live in now is archive. It's brilliant that that's going to be printed, not just on published on the Irish Times website. It's actually going to be printed in the print edition, so that becomes memorialized immediately, which is fantastic. But the question, the general standard?
Well, the general standard was very high. It was tough to pick between them, and that was fantastic to see. You know, there is another generation of Irish writers, it would seem, coming up behind everybody else. So that's not going to stop.
Okay. And John, I was looking at it this morning. Your next book is called?
A Traveller at the Gates of Wisdom, and it will be published in July.
And what's that about?
It's a sort of an epic novel set across 2,000 years. So it follows the idea of emotion across, rather than a character, emotion travelling through 2,000 years. Self-publicizing here...
I want you to, but anyway, go ahead.
I'll just say one of the things that, because so many parents and kids be wondering whether they have been shortlisted, whether they've won a prize, but as you mentioned, Martin Doyle at the Irish Times is going to have them all on the website now shortly. I think they're probably just uploading them now, so within the next half hour or so, and you'll see all the names of the winners, and I will be contacting them all by email now this afternoon as well, so you'll know. But look, even if you didn't win, I hope that the time you spent doing something creative and writing some stories hopefully wasn't a waste and you got some fun out of it.
Yeah, and even I found myself in the last 2 weeks, I've started, not to any purpose, but I've started writing again. And it's just, it's to give yourself a sense of achievement almost that you've done, and people can get it through gardening or cooking or daily life, but it's a sense of achievement to start writing something. It's a crime novel I'm thinking of, and because my mind is so dark generally, but and most of the stories are drawn from stories I heard on Liveline, Injustices and all that carry. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But if you do write, you feel, as I'm sure our three winners and the 6,000 entrants, you've written something, you've produced something, it's there, it's in perpetuity, you can either print it off or keep it online. It's a fantastic piece. Best of luck with your new novel. That means you're writing another one at the moment, are you, John?
I am, but I'm actually writing a TV script at the moment. Oh. My first time to do that, so I'm giving that a go and seeing if it will work out.
Okay, I'm sure it will. And your own books are just fantastic epics. They really are. I mean, the Ladder to the Sky, I just loved it. Absolutely loved it. Which is about writing and authors and plagiarism and all that carry on. The Hearts and Invisible Furies is just an epic across decades, and in Ireland, which is another, and of course, Boy in the Striped Pyjamas. John Boyne, well done on the idea, and well done on sticking with the idea, because sometimes people have fantastic ideas, and then when it gets into the nitty-gritty, oh, hang on a minute, this might happen or that might happen. 6,000 entries, 7,500 euros worth of book tokens. Everyone a winner in that sense, in that you now have every single entrant and their families now have a 300-word short story that has been read by our fabulous group of judges, all award-winning, most of them, as far as I can work out, award-winning writers. But it's a great achievement. OK, John Boyne. John, well done, and we see you soon. And if you have any other ideas, John, keep them to yourself. No, brilliant. That was a joy. That was an absolute joy. That was John Boyne. And they were three gorgeous, gorgeous stories and really well written and well read. 5-1-double. Why can't people send us messages like that? You can send us messages and email, and if you don't want to, and stories about different things, short messages. OK, 5-1-double, 5-1, wash your hands.